My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
All right, the good news is Ken is in for the tandem bike ride, but he said one caveat, he's got to ride in the middle. So anyway, Ken, it's great to have you here with Ryan Ripken. Having a lot of fun here, although it wasn't fun on Sunday. Let's get into this, of course, with film study, Baltimore.com, checking out. I'm going to be jumping on your podcast today, which I'm looking forward to. Talk to me about Lamar. What did you see from him? How much blame does he deserve for this game, as Stephen A. Smith was trying to just pile on him? I didn't understand it. But they do have an issue of closing out games, it appears.
Yeah. So obviously not getting first downs in the fourth quarter, a real bad problem. You look at Lamar's passing. He was on par for his opportunity set. Really what has been his first two games. And what I mean by that is dividing those opportunities into ample time and space where he's got a 3 second pocket, room to step into his throw, ball out quick, and pressure events. And he was right on par with yardage expectations for the three of those. Ran effectively, though a lot of the chunk of that was on the last play. The interception was all on Bateman, of course. We can talk about that if you want, but big trust breaker between the two of them to have that ball go into his arms and right out.
Yeah, I think that's always one thing, for better or for worse, right? The quarterback's going to get some blame. But I'll tell you what, Ken, the conversation that is continuing to grow, the concern is over the Ravens' offensive line. And they lost a lot of key guys. And I know you just had an article out talking about the offensive line play as a whole. And I think the kind of theme was the amount of kind of negative plays. So if you can just walk us through just what you saw. And I think for all fans on Sunday, you saw things, but you got to really dive into what was a problem for this Ravens offensive line.
Yeah, this was a worse game than what they posted at Kansas City. And just going across, Stanley, a C-plus in this game. He would have, and this is block-by-block scoring. I didn't just put my finger in the wind and say C-plus, but he would have had an A without the offensive holding. It was a very odd play, straight-ahead block, no wave for it from the opponent. His mobility looks terrific, like it was before 2020, so at least that's good. I'm not concerned at all about Stanley. Voorhees took a big step back from week one, a D in this game, had an offensive hold, two pressures, a penetration. His technique, if you look at him play, is way ahead of Fa'alele. But on the other hand, the results really aren't any better, and that's a problem. Linderbaum, I think a lot of people, when they look relatively at the line, think he played very well, but didn't really have a great game against the Raiders' interior. One pressure, eight missed blocks in the game. Five of those were losses at the line of scrimmage. Most of those were to Wilkins directly, which is a problem that he's had during his career with some bigger linemen. Fa'alele, an F in this game. He had had a good score with a bad look to him. He's always got a bad look, but he had a good score in his first game. This game, not so much. 10 missed blocks, 2.25 pressures, 1 sack. McCary, a D, another bad game for him. Had a sack and 2.25 pressures also. He had the toughest assignment. He was out there opposite Max Crosby for most of the game. And Rosengarten was the pleasant surprise. Made 17 of 19 blocks. That's not enough for me to give him a grade yet, but he with 3 more blocks in that, I'm sorry, 15 of 17, with 3 more blocks, he would add an A.
Do you think Voorhees was busy on Friday the 13th? That's why I didn't play so well. Sorry, I had to throw that one in there. Well, let me ask you about this, because with the offensive line and some of the things we've seen, is it issues in both facets, running and passing, or is it just more passing?
It's both. They've had problems blocking up run plays well. They particularly in that first half, they didn't do a good job blocking for the run at all. And it was in the second half. I mean, they went to the second half with 11 yards rushing, and then they piled up about 140 in the second half. So they put some things together well there. They're not making pulls right now like Ravens teams of old, and that's on Voorhees and Fa'alele right now as the primary guys. That would be my biggest problem with the run game. With passing, it's broad. The problems are broad, and you know, entire additional discussion required.
So then, as you just mentioned, it's both. It's passing, it's running, but specifically, at least another talking point has been, you know, hey, you got Derrick Henry, and they did see have moments, and people were wondering if the Ravens being committed enough to the run. I think that there was that commitment in the second half, specifically to start, but. Your kind of take then, I think there's more to the story here, and for this offense to maybe take some pressure off was maybe how it finished, Ken. Can you kind of touch on how you feel with that commitment?
I mean, they brought Derrick Henry in to finish games, and he didn't get it done in this game, not necessarily because of his running, because of two false starts. So he took him from 2nd-and-1 to 2nd-and-6, from 3rd-and-1 to 3rd-and-6, which is one of the biggest plays of the game that is not being talked about. The other penalty, you know, obviously the DPI in the end zone, people. But if they'd gotten the first down on the play with Henry on 3rd-and-1, would have been, you know, had a much higher chance of winning that football game. And you know, he ran fine in the second half. That wasn't really the problem. I thought after the first half, the Ravens' streak was going to end of the 100-yard games they've had consecutively. But they ran the ball effectively in the second half. That wasn't an issue. And I think hopefully we'll see something from Henry where he really plays less in the first half, and in the second half he comes in against a tired defense. I think that's a natural kind of evolution for his career. He won't have as many snaps here in Baltimore, but if he's going to run the ball 250 times, which would be only a slight reduction from what he was doing at the end in Tennessee, then closing out games is where they really need him.
How much of, like, we've talked about penalties, and a lot of times coaches get blame and they get accolades for things that I'm not sure should necessarily go to them. But at the same extent, a lot of people think if you have penalties in a game, that falls on the coaching staff. And this is unlike any Ravens team that I've seen. They're not usually the, like I was saying about the Raiders, when they come to town, it's like the Raiders are usually the ones that have issues with penalties. What did you think about Sunday and all the penalties they had?
I mean, obviously, the penalty total was one of the deciding factors in the game. And they had four just, I think, awful calls. The Stanley holding, the board, unnecessary roughness, complete phantom call. I can't figure out who they're calling on, if they called the wrong player, what it might be. Stevens in the end zone with the DPI and the Matabike face mask. All, you know, very poor calls. But there was other penalties that hurt them as well. And that included these two false starts by Henry. So
those were huge.
Yeah, they were just enormous. So
especially on third down, right? I mean, yep. It changes everything up.
Changes everything.
All right, so we're going to step out. We'll come back. Ryan Ripken, Jeremy Kind, Ken McCusick. We'll go more on this game. We got to get the special teams, what the defense looked like. All this and more, it's all coming up here on the Big Bad Morning Show.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The Fan. All right, welcome back. Second segment with Ken McCusick, filmstudybaltimore.com, Ryan Ripken, Jeremy Kahn. Rob Long and Ed Norris are off this week, so a lot of football to talk. Ryan, you want to kick it off with some special teams, right?
Yeah, why don't we keep it rolling? I know I actually tried to do this analogy. We talked earlier about baseball, Ken, and people want to look at pitching and hitting in baseball, but then they forget about defense. And then for football, it's always about how the offense is playing and defense. And yes, those are two big parts of it, but so is the special teams game in a unit, Ken, that usually people expect success from the Ravens special team. Yesterday wasn't maybe the day, specifically from punting to kicking. Can you just elaborate on what you kind of saw there? And I know Harbaugh even touched on that with Stout.
Yeah, so Stout shanked the punt that basically set up the game-winning field goal drive. 24-yard punt, and then a 5-yard penalty tacked on for Holman for being out of bounds. It was a minor yet very annoying issue in the game. There's another issue going on with Stout, because obviously he hasn't had a great season punting the ball, but he's still, I think, a worthwhile punter. There's really a big question about him as a holder at this point. And Tucker has never had these problems in his career before that he's had since Stout arrived, where he's just 8 points above expected 2 years ago, 3.5 points last year, and this year he'd be in the negatives. And the question I would have is this. They've obviously tremendously overcommitted to personnel required for the kickoff. In fact, they've lost 3 yards relative to just kicking the ball in the end zone every time. And they spent all this time this summer working on that. A question I would have legitimately is, could you carry one less special teams player and have Cook brought back as a holder? Hall of Fame holder, the greatest that's ever played the game. He and Tucker know each other.
You don't think they'd use a roster spot for that, though, do you?
Well, I mean,
it's probably needed.
Do I think they would do it? No, absolutely not. But do I think it's a good idea? I think it's worth considering. I mean, I think that the points you lose from Stout holding relative to what we've seen is very significant.
People are going to overlook that, but the thing I would say to you about it, too, is some teams used to have kickers just for kickoffs. They weren't their field goal kickers.
That's true. And
some teams were lucky, like Pat McAfee did it for the Colts, but he was their punter. But there were other teams that just brought in a kickoff specialist. So I get it from that standpoint. Just to piggyback off of what he's talking about, I talked to someone that said, with Justin Tucker and the 50-yard field goals, I think a lot's being made of, I mean, he's getting older, he's going to miss some, but some of those field goals were really long, like 56, 58. But there was somebody that pointed out and told me that he's doing a little bit of a crow hop on some of the longer ones, which makes them think that he doesn't have it in his leg anymore. But then they talked before the game, he had a 70-yard bomb
in practice.
So what do you think about Justin Tucker?
I think part of the problem with Tucker's decline may be age-related. So you've got to look at that. But it's been such a sharp decline that I think it's probably worthwhile to try and figure it out. There's almost nothing you can do in football that'll change your expectation by 10 points in a season. I mean, it's very hard to find even a single player who would have that impact on your roster. And to find somebody on the margin of the roster who might, you take that shot. I mean, it's worth it. From an analytics perspective, I can't understand why they wouldn't.
Well, I think then special teams, obviously, the Ravens were used to it, and John Harbaugh's background as being a special teams coach, so you always expect that. Another thing in Ravens history, the defense has always been something, but there's been some changes, Ken. Obviously, Patrick Queen is no longer here, and we saw in the first game with Kansas City, some of the linebackers were a little bit exposed, but there are some real positives, specifically with Trenton Simpson. How would you discuss kind of how the linebacking position played out here against the Raiders?
Okay, so there was one major change between week one and week two is they took Harrison off the field at inside linebacker, just had him playing outside linebacker. That, I think, is the right change for Malik at this point. He's a guy who's reshaped his body to be an outside linebacker, good run defender, decent Sam linebacker in terms of his ability to drop, but he's never going to be cover. He's never going to give you in coverage what you want as an inside linebacker. And he's also losing something as a tackler in the open field. He's missed two open field tackles, one of each of the last 2 weeks. So, you know, I think that was a good change. They leaned more on Simpson for that, for a more specific role in that case. They also didn't use the dime back at all, which they'd used three times in week one. So they had him on the field basically for every play. And I think that was a change. If I'm looking at other components of the defense, though, in particular, I think Zach Orr had a lot of trouble adapting in each of the 2 weeks to something. The first week it was, how do we get the Chiefs off their bunch formation bent? That mm-hmm. they continually were beating the Ravens with bunch formation and rubs and picks off that. And the second one, it was about, how do you stop two particular receivers? Now, when the other team only really has a couple options that are doing anything, and Bowers and Adams, there are gimmick coverages you can start to run. You can rob. You can do all sorts of things from safety to try and take away those routes, alternate on it and whatever. I thought that was something probably should have been done in this game. And they wrote it out. Don't have a long window in which to change, but I thought it's something they could have done.
I want to make sure I bring it up. Something that you wrote up here is the panic button. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have it. 0-2, and people keep giving it. The thing I said the other day is they're giving out the record of teams that went 0-2 and didn't make the playoffs, but forgetting that the playoffs just got expanded. So two teams in recent history have done that. Ironically, in the AFC, one was Cincinnati. I don't remember who the other one was. Maybe Joe can yell it out if he does. Houston was the other one. How do you feel about the panic button right now?
Well, I think this team is a lot better than that. I think you look at the AFC North, it's not a particularly difficult division. It's a team with a division with a bunch of flawed teams. I think, the Ravens are healthy right now. This is not an 0-2 team that got here because their quarterback went down or because anything else. So you got that. That's I think, a good thing. The offsetting problem to this is the Ravens still have a very tough schedule to face the next few weeks, and they could be in too deep a hole before they really have a chance to dig out. And if you believe the offensive line is going to gel and improve together, that would be the place where it might not work out. So it's a team with one very serious problem right now. The offensive line is not good, and they may be able to figure out, and they may not be able to do, but this tough stretch is coming at a bad time.
Yeah, and especially Dallas, Buffalo, Cincinnati, the next upcoming mm-hmm. games. But if it's not panic here, at least we'll say frustration. We talked about the offensive line. If there was a frustration besides that Max Crosby had his way at some moments, on the offensive side for Vegas, it was don't let Davante Adams beat you. Mm-hmm. And then also then Brock Bowers, who is a talented stud. I think he's going to be a top tight end here. But I think that had to be one of the most frustrating elements for Baltimore on Sunday, as those guys game wrecked this Baltimore defense.
Right. Well, that's exactly what I mentioned, is that they really needed to come up with a way to stop those two guys. And they don't have to stop all them on every play, but you have to have something you can run as a gimmick coverage where you drop down and you take away a route from one of those two. And it's something that is an in-game adjustment that's required. And I think if you want to look at Orr relative to McDonald, I think this is a place where Orr is behind McDonald. But that said, McDonald's second game as a defensive coordinator was the Miami game 2 years ago. That was the biggest, the biggest blown game in team history. So it's I'm not leaning on him too hard. I think there's still a chance that he grows into this role. It's just a little frustrating that in each of the first two games, there's been something he hasn't caught up on.
Yeah, I like, though, that he's taken ownership. Like, people always say, one of my biggest gripes with Harbaugh is different when they win, different when they lose. But, like, I just want guys to take ownership when they're wrong. It's okay to admit you're mm-hmm. wrong. And some people say, well, when coaches start doing that, then they get questioned and other. So maybe I'm in a bit of the gray area here. But or after game one, admitted to the timeouts being his fault that they ended up using and some of the other things, not making adjustments. I mean, we saw Rashee Rice was kind of getting matched up mm-hmm. on Roquan quite a bit. But before we run, and I do want to get you to pub the podcast and everything that's coming up, any thoughts just going into Dallas? Do you have concerns? Would you have less concerns if Dallas just hadn't got their ass beat?
No, I have less concerns because Dallas got their ass beat at home.
Yeah,
okay. I do have less concerns because of that. They look very mortal in terms of who they are. So the Ravens will go down there. I'm looking forward to the game still.
The only thing I'd say, though, is like they made this Raiders team one-dimensional and it didn't work out. Dallas can't run the football. They're going to be one-dimensional. So I just hope we don't see the second half that we saw here, if you get what I'm saying.
We should see Big Nickel pretty much the whole way. It's a place where you definitely don't need to overcommit to the run, and I don't think they will in this game.
You want to tell everybody about the podcast, where they can find you?
Sure. Film Study, Baltimore Ravens Talk on all your podcast platforms. And it's filmstudybaltimore.com. If you want to go see offensive line scoring, there's an article out there and all kinds of articles about the defense that go into a lot more detail than we talked about here.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not so secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.